So your book Red Moon was a fiction, and in it, a plot point was a Chinese moon landing. So how what was going through your mind when the Chinese sent a lander up to the moon in real life right after you published the book?
Well, I'd have to say that my prediction was that their unmanned lander would touch down in 2014. It was actually at the end of 2013. But the other area of prediction that was in my book was that there would be significant resources of water on the moon, under the moon's south pole. And that's been proven by the U.S. La Crosse probe, an Indian probe, and a probe from Japan. And matter of fact, a lot of space scientists believe that the amount of water under the moon's south pole could be equivalent to that of Lake Michigan.
Unbelievable. So here you are, this prescient seer, right in St. Augustine. You're predicting all of these things, and then they actually happen. So one narrative you've talked about on this program before is that we're in a new space race, in particular with the Chinese. As I mentioned, space entrepreneur Robert Bigelow pegs the value of the moon at more than $250 billion. During the presidential race, the debate on the UNF campus got a lot of attention because candidate Newt Gingrich out of nowhere said, "We need to build a colony on the moon." I thought of you when he said that. People made fun of it, of course. But serious people that study this see the value of continued lunar exploration. And you say even a bit of a threat from the Chinese getting out in front of us.
Oh,
yeah? Yes?
Absolutely. And don't forget, people made fun of Seward when Alaska was purchased from Russia.
Right. And you see this as being similar?
Very similar. It's just, I see the United States right now in sort of a similar situation as Europe was just before the early 1500s, sort of in a period of economic stagnation. And what changed everything was going out and discovering new lands that they called the New World. Now, interestingly enough, right at that period of time, there was a treaty drawn up by the Church of Rome called the Treaty of Torsilides. And that was a treaty that would specifically peacefully divide up areas between Spain, Portugal, the other Catholic countries, etc. Well, as soon as gold was discovered in the New World, well, that treaty went to pieces. And whatever country had the strongest military position was the country that took those resources. And I see that very similar to the 1967 Treaty of Outer Space. I see that the Chinese space program is actually an arm of the People's Liberation Army. It is a quasi-military program.
Hmm. Interesting. So you're arguing not only will this be good for America if we advance our space capabilities, in particular, it will be good for the First Coast. Why?
Oh, absolutely. First of all, the Altair lander, which was canceled as part of the cancellation of the Constellation program, was to be built by Northrop Grumman. When the shuttle program ended and when Constellation was canceled, on the Space Coast, 10,000 very well-trained individuals lost their jobs. This area, in terms of our infrastructure between the resources that we have between Northrop Grumman, even what's available at, say, Cecil Field, all the way down to the Kennedy Space Center, would virtually explode in terms of economic opportunities if we really had a serious commitment to develop space resources.
How do you see Cecil, the spaceport that's planned out at Cecil Field on the far west side, how do you see that factoring in?
Well, that could certainly operate with commercial entrepreneurs bringing in spacecraft that could do cargo, resupply missions, etc. Because a lot of the infrastructure for building a space-based economy that would have access to lunar resources would require that type of infrastructure and support, certainly in terms of supplying materials into low Earth orbit, certainly in bringing back refined and processed ores from the moon.
But is there the political will to make all this happen?
Well, the political will, I think, will happen when the first Chinese astronauts step onto the moon and plant their flag.
And you think that's as soon as 2017? Well, why that year? Why that year?
Well, typically the Chinese had said that they wanted to have a manned landing on the moon by 2017. Now, that actually might not happen until 2019. But certainly, if you look at the Chang 3, which set down on the moon in December, the basic design of it looks exactly like the descent stage of the original Apollo lunar landers. The only thing that's missing from it is the ascent stage, where the astronauts would be. It's slightly smaller, but there's no reason that that type of spacecraft couldn't be scaled up to put two or three astronauts down on the moon, certainly within the next few years.
What would you say to those who might argue, well, we've already done that. We've already put a man on the moon. Why do we need to do it again?
Well, the idea is not in terms of just going there and bringing back a few rocks. The moon is incredibly rich in resources of titanium, aluminum, and especially rare earths. Rare earths are absolutely critical to the functioning of a high-technology society. Currently, 97% of the rare earths on this planet are in territories controlled by the People's Republic of China. In 2010, because of a political dispute, they cut us off from access to rare earths. Those resources can be mined, can be harvested, and can be returned to the Earth relatively easily, so that you're almost beginning to reach a break-even point to trying to extract or buy those resources now from countries that don't really like us very much.
So your book, Red Moon, predicted all of these real-life events. What's the next Chris Berman novel?
Oh, gosh. Well, I've actually written a couple of novels since then. I had written Ace of Aces, which deals with bringing five actual World War II fighter aces into the future to battle a future menace. I've written a small horror novel called Condosaur, where we have prehistoric predators getting loose in South Florida, and a new book that's going to be out in March or April called Das Bell, which talks about the quasi-historical Nazi bell, this device that was supposedly so secret that SS General Hans Kammler had all of the individuals who were working on the project executed so that the secrets couldn't fall into Allied hands.
Fascinating. You are always so fascinating. I look forward to hearing about that one. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Well, thank you very much, too. And of course, anybody who would like to delve into my writings can find my books through Barnes & Noble or through Amazon on the web. And hopefully they will enjoy them.
Yes. Chris Berman, author of Red Moon and other books, thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much.